Well, it might be good if you'd pray for me. I'm going to start with a verse in Philippians, second chapter. Well, I'll start in the first verse, I guess. Get several verses. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. I hope that is true. I desire that, to have the mind of Christ. I think it's one of the hardest things. I know God is a big God and can do anything, but in creation, making us with a will and giving us the right to choose, and an effort, God gives an effort to influence us to change by our own minds. I think it's one of the hardest things God does. I know it's extremely hard for me to try to change somebody's mind. And it's hard for someone to change my mind. I think it's hard for God to change our minds too, unless we give completely over to Him, to the desire that I want my mind changed. It's been something that's been hard throughout the history of man. When God created man, He made him in His own image and made him upright and said that it was very good. He didn't have no reason to change his mind. But after the fall, we see that there was a real struggle in the way men begin to think. It's very important what we think. What we think guides our day. What we think guides where we go. What we think will determine how we respond in life. The ideas that, you know, I come from the center of West Virginia, and I know the folks up there as well as probably I know anything as to how people are, because I'm just like, I was there. I mean, it was me. So I know the way people think up there. I know the superstitions. I know things that don't make any sense that you think anyway. You don't have to have a lot of evidence to think. You can believe and think things that has no proof or evidence at all. People have always done that. And the history of mankind is that God gave us a mind, an intelligence, a way to do things, think about things. But from the history of time, men begin to think after the fall. They begin to think outside the realms of holiness and righteousness and what we call today the pursuit of knowledge, or the pursuit of wisdom, which is science. Science is outside the realms of logic too many times. I mean, it goes, think about it, it's not actually the pursuit of wisdom anymore. A lot of it has agenda put in it to try to promote. Well, they think certain things. You can't prove it, so we'll just go ahead with it anyway. Man has had a problem. If you remember the scriptures, it wasn't long down in creation. Some generations before God looked at the situation that was on the earth and said it grieved him that he had even made man. He had went so far in his thinking, away from the thinking of God, that God looked at it and said it repented him to have made a man, made a creation, that had went so far off. Down to the fact that the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. And God, it grieved God, and he said, I'm going to destroy it. Well, we know the story. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Therefore, God saved the human race and didn't destroy them all, but saved the preacher and the eight people that was there in the ark. He saved them. But it wasn't long after the ark rested itself on land and man began to populate the earth again. It wasn't long before man's mind began to do the same thing. He didn't have the right kind of thoughts towards God. Sin had controlled them, and it wasn't long before they got together and said, we're going to build a tower. Why didn't they just turn to God? Why what happened to them in their thinking began to take on all kind of things, and they began to look at powers, forces of nature and forces of things around. They looked at things that was bigger than they are, and with the you may say inbred or the created part of them that desired worship with God, their minds began to think outside the idea of a holy creating God and began to look at the natural forces and said, these things are bigger than we are. Things like volcanoes, things like storms, things like the solar system, the sun, the natural forces that God created in man. And man began to look at that and say, there's a God up to it. And they began to think in the terms, they were still mindful of worship, they wanted to worship, but they began to create the things that would allow them to do things in their own mind, in their own way. And they after the flood, some suspicions about it is, maybe I should say, is that the reason they built the tower was to build up above any ideas of flood, to be able to get out of the flood. I don't know what the truth of the tower altogether is. I know that God confounded their speech there to keep them from doing what they was doing, that they were going to build a tower to heavens, that they were going to go some other way. It's been man's mind that he's going to live life himself. Many religions, even in the Christian religion, pick up things on themselves and they say, I believe in God, but I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to follow the dictates of God altogether. I am somebody that regularly talks with people and gets into issues and debates, if you will, about scriptures and things. And it amazes me how easily someone can put away a very sound scripture. And I will say, well, here is this very sound scripture. And it doesn't mean anything to them. Well, wait a minute. It's got to mean something to you. It's the Word of God. This is the way we are to pursue the ways of the Lord. But it doesn't seem to matter. Not only do they not acknowledge that scripture or even that it's there, but they will go on in their own thinking anyway. Well, I suppose I have some of my own thinking that I deal with too, but I want to be ever aware of that. Lord, I want to commit my thinking to your thinking. My ways are not his ways. His ways are not always. His ways are higher than our ways. As far as the heaven is above the earth, his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I need to put myself into that, and Lord, help me to think the way you want me to think. But mankind had always been there, and so they created gods. God wasn't through dealing with mankind. God had faithful people crop up and dealt with them and had to deal with their minds. And all through there was problems with their thinking. I had mentioned this to someone recently. With the exception, I don't think altogether Joseph, but maybe Daniel's an exception. But almost every major patriarch, major figure of the scriptures, had problems with their thinking. I'm thankful that it's in the scriptures, because we're kind of human too. And I need to know those kind of things. Abraham was an extraordinary figure in the Old Testament. But he lied about Sarah. He did have issues with the bondswoman. There was issues in Abraham's life, but he was an unusual figure. He was exceptional in the scriptures. But yet those things was there in his mind. Moses was an exceptional figure in the scriptures. No doubt about how God used him. But he did kill the Egyptian. And he did strike the rock when he's supposed to speak to it. And he lost his temper a few times. Moses had those issues in his life. David was an outstanding character in the scriptures. He was the high water mark of all the kings of Israel. They was either like their father David or they wasn't in the scriptures. But he had his trouble with Bathsheba. He had his trouble on a number of occasions. David did. And I only say that to say this. It's a part of our mind. It is our minds that leads us to these kind of things. So this scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Lord, help me to have the mind that you have, that you see life through, because I know what superstitious mountain people are. And I know that superstition can get in your way of faith in God. But it ain't limited to that. But to all people, there is an idea. I don't know where we get our patterns of thinking altogether, but it does seem to me like that it is particular to each individual, but it has to do with the environment that we grow up around. It has to do with what mom and dad believed. It has to do with how strongly they believe certain aspects of it. Some parents may have strictly taught their children to go to service. Others may have been a haphazard. Other parents may have strongly taught their children about restrictions about the Sabbath day or Sunday rules, the blue laws type thing. Others may not have. Whatever it is dictates a pattern of life to us. I look at life through the lens of what I was trained to do and my environment taught me and just what I accumulated on the right or wrong. I accumulated it. And then come up to a point that I see all life through the dictates of my eyes and what I've learned and seen, and now I live life that way. I speak to others that way. I go where I go that way. I have ideas and things that way. But here's a different idea that comes in and conflicts it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is not unusual to the New Testament. I can name you a number of times to where the disciples, closest to the Lord as they could be, couldn't think right. they couldn't think it right. They had problems with it. Do you remember where there was some of the disciples there with the Lord when he ascended? And they saw couple of the Old Testament figures there, Abraham and Isaiah, whoever it was, Elisha or whoever, and immediately their thoughts somehow deified these men into the point that they said, well, I know what let's do. Let's go make these temples. Let's make honors to them. Let's give them. The Lord. You missed it. This is my son. Hear ye him. Don't lift up man. Don't lift up these other things. This is God. You got it wrong. You're just like the old them of old that come up and looked at the storms or looked at these other things and thought somehow we're going to do something to these. No, this is about God. This is about God. We're not thinking in the right way. We also will many times in the scriptures bear this out. We many times start to thinking about the own of. It amazes me, David, after all his contact with the Lord, he acted like, maybe I need somebody to help me with this, but he acted like God didn't see him. Now somebody explain that to me. Although somehow I don't need it explained down deep in, because I know those kind of things. But David acted like if he kept it from everybody else, God didn't see it either. Folks, God sees you. Let's get our minds right. The idea of being faithfulness in front of people somehow feels good. I want to be known. I want to be known as faithful. But then to be unfaithful when nobody's watching or while I'm out by myself is one of the highest hypocrisies to God. What do you think? I don't see you? I mean, honestly, where's our minds? Are we contacted with Christ? I mean, Lord, Jesus is here with me, seeing me. Yeah, I'm out in the field all by myself. Yeah, there's nobody within a mile of me around here or whatever. But God's still there. We believe that. We say that. But what's our mind do with it? Our mind really says that. And it happens a lot of times where people do those kind of things. So I want to look at another scripture. Oh, I think it's in Luke. Let this mind be in you. It's a permission thing in that scripture. Let it be in you. God's working with it. God wants us to think that way. Pursue after the Lord. Lord, help me to have the right mind to think about it. Do you remember the story in the scriptures where the Lord gave an illustration of some folks that had went to work, and this other guy goes to work and he stands around, nobody would hire him. And finally the master comes, and it's the last hour, and he comes and says to him, "Why are you standing idle?" And his answer was, "No one would hire me." And he said, Well, go work and I'll pay you what's right to work." Well, so he goes out, works an hour. That was a pretty easy day. Worked his hour. And then they get in line. And this guy comes up, and the master gives him his penny. Then the next guy comes up, supposing, I mean, there was people hired through the length of the day. And so they come up to get theirs, supposing that if he gave, well, they agreed for a penny. But when they come up to get what they was due, the thinking that this man got a penny for working an hour, I worked 10 hours, I'm supposing. I got a good payday coming. But he handed him a penny. And that bothered them. Does that sound unjust? Lord, help our minds. It doesn't sound unjust to the poor guy that had children at home waiting for bread. I'll tell you that. It doesn't sound unjust to the man that had a wife at home that might have been sick, or whatever the needs that he had, or the bills that he had due. It didn't seem unjust to him. It felt like mercy. It felt like love. It felt like goodness to his mind. But to the minds of the guys that was back here, how can that be fair? I've been done wrong. Lord, help us. The man said, "Why is there evil in your eye? Can I not do good with what's mine? You agreed for a penny? I gave you a penny. How does my goodness to him harm you?" Do you want me to tell you the right mind? Lord, help us, the right mind. Should have been, "Thank God. Because one day I might be there without work. Someday I might be in that situation too. Thank God for that. Thank God that there's good people. Thank God that there's mercy. Thank God that there's that." There's a mind that we have about selfishness. "Oh, I didn't get it. Oh, it's me." Lord, help our minds. Let this mind be in you. What did he say ahead of that was? That we not just think of ourselves. That we think of others. That we take on their burdens. Do we have a mind one for another? Would it have been the same if that would have been the guy's brother? That half of his penny was going to go to him anyway. And would it have been the same if that had been his child that was desperate? Why do we think the way we do? Lord, help us in our minds. Because we don't think the right way all the time. We think of something that's totally, totally different than what Jesus thinks. Lord, let this mind be in me that I think the right thoughts. In Luke 5, let's see, 27th verse. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the seat of customs, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against the disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Wow. Jesus went right to it. He had a different mind than they did. You know, I find it very interesting that our meetings roll around sometimes, and maybe I'll be in town or somewhere, and I'll see someone, maybe a family, a couple, usually a woman's more obvious, dressed holiness. And I'll say, I'll invite them to service, camp meeting. That's what we need in a camp meeting, more holiness, right? That's what we need to come to our revival meeting, more holiness. Let's get all the holiness we can. I said all that. Why do I think that way? Well, I'm connected with that. I'm comfortable with that. That does not strain me any. I can get along with them. They believe like I do. We can get along good here. They look whole enough to be with us, right? They're whole enough to be with us. Won't cause us no trouble. Know our decorum, know the way we do things. Everything was fine. We'll get along good. I'll ask them to the meeting. And every time I think that way, I think of this passage. They that are whole need not a physician. Why don't you turn around and see that guy out there that's got the sign that says, Give me something to eat. To go sit down beside this fella. Somebody look and say, What's he talking with him for? Well, none of us would do that, of course. But our mind is that let's drive on by to ask, get something comfortable. But I wonder what Jesus is really thinking sometimes when we start doing that. I want to tell you something that I've learned in life. A lot of times, the people that are closest to the kingdom of God are the ornerest, the havelest, the meanest, the most out of sorts people that you can run into. The ones you don't want to be around with is the ones that's closest to the kingdom many times. And we can go right on by them and never even suspect. No, I don't want the problems or the difficulties. I don't want to have to deal with it. It's going to cost me something to do that. But what was the mind of Christ? He went and sat and eat with the publicans and sinners. Enough to look that his reputation now, by the Pharisees anyway, is going to be suffer some hurt here, because they're going to look and say, What's he doing eating with publicans and sinners? You know, another place, you remember, if I get this right, Mary, I think it was, that washed Jesus' feet with her tears, and the whole thing was, and they said about Jesus, He says he's a prophet. If he was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman she is. Because she's not a good woman. I think Jesus knew what kind of woman she was. Even when we start making terms of good and bad, here is a good person, here is a bad person. You ain't good unless Jesus has done something for you. They're never going to be good if Jesus don't do something for them. And they're no worse off or bad because of what they're doing than what we was when we was in sin. So God wants us to have a different idea, a different mind. Jesus' mind. Let this mind be in you. To think the way the Lord would want us to think is an incredible idea to me. Lord, help me to think this way. Because the lessons of the scriptures, there were so many places to where their minds wasn't right. You remember they was in a ship one time. Jesus is in there and it says he's asleep. I think that was mentioned in this meeting already. Jesus is asleep in the ship. And the disciples, the storm picks up. It looks like I know folks down here, kind of a lot of them's used to boats and being out on this bigger water and that kind of stuff. You don't want to be out there when a storm picks up. Not even on the lake out. You don't want out there. I've been on bodies of water when you don't want to be out there. They was out there. It's a long ways to shore. What are they going to do? The sea's coming up. And they understood everything they understood by the lessons of their life. They knew that you don't want to be out there when that storm picks up. They know what can happen to you. Many of people they know have lost their lives. Guarantee that. I mean, Scripture doesn't say it, but you know that's true about by the history of things and all those things. And so they pattern what they think by the way that life has been to them. But this is different. Because Jesus, the Master, is on the ship. And now our minds have to give way to faith. You have to allow your mind to give way to faith to be able to believe, this. They made an accusation. Care us not that we perish? Well, it sure looks like you don't care. That's the way I think. It was the patterns of their mind. We can do those kind of things too. Another scripture is in John 8th chapter. I wonder sometimes about the activities of our lives. One time several years ago, me and my family went to a thing, an event of sorts. And I don't say that it was necessarily bad. We had never done it before. We had made this decision. We go to this thing. And after it was over, every one of us, I think down to the smallest one, was like, I don't like that. I don't like the way it made me feel. Me and my wife looked at each other and said, we'll never do that again. My children was even like, I don't like that. Made us feel. You know, I'm really thankful for that. I really am thankful for that. We really don't need, I'm thankful for the standards. I'm thankful for the people that went before us and laid lines and said these. I'm thankful for that. But I'm more thankful for the Spirit of God. I'm thankful for the realization that when this comes in, we can feel that in our life. I think there's times that the Lord wants to deal with us in that kind of capacity. He wants us, though, when those times come. Do you know I can override that and change my mind? This wasn't a mind thing, folks. This was a heart thing. I couldn't tell you with my mind, but I could tell you with my heart. Something didn't feel right, didn't seem right. We all felt it. We knew what the Lord was doing. And I said no to that. And now I've got a mind. Now I've got a mind. I will not do it because I think now. It come to that. There's a passage of scripture here in the 8th chapter of John. Oh, let's see. I'll start with the first verse. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, And early in the morning, he came again unto the people, or the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman is taken in adultery, in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. Now, just a few particulars of this passage, scripture. They said that she was caught in the very act, so there wasn't any deliberating about whether or not it was true. They eliminated all that. Now, we have a very factual base here. We're asking you the question of someone that has been tried, condemned, found guilty. There's no question about that. This is what's done. Now, what do you say about it? Their minds wasn't pure. It's obvious that they didn't have a pure mind. They did not want to answer. They did not want to have a fuller understanding. Folks, this is one of the most detrimental things to our spiritual walk is when we preset something in our minds that this is what I'm going to do. Or I don't want to know the truth. I'm going to pray and pray and pray and pray, but I block off the idea that I want the truth. I've got to want the truth. Give me the truth, Lord. Help me to know what I'm supposed to know here. Help me to know. It might hurt. It might go against me. I may have to do something that I don't want to do. I may have to apologize publicly. I may have to do something, but Lord, I want to know. And if I don't know, my mind will never be clear. I will never have the right mind. I block off the avenue to have the right thinking capacity in my mind. So, they already had done it, pretty much. But God is master. Jesus is master. And so, I don't know altogether why, but he acted like he didn't even, as though he didn't hear them. He did not address them. He didn't look in their eyes. He didn't shake his head and say, oh, guys. He didn't do any of that. He simply stooped down and starts writing. Now, whatever Jesus does is monumental. Okay? Whatever it done was what needed to be done. He didn't need to do these other things. This was the moment. This was the moment that needed dealt with. And the Lord's trying to get something to a people that's mind's bad. They're thinking wrong. They want something. I want to say this. We've got to eliminate our self-driven agendas if we're going to go anywhere with God. Yes, you have to get rid of your pets. Your agendas, your emotions, you got to submit those things to the Lord. You got to get rid of them. They will be a hindrance to you. Well, my grandma was this way. What are you doing? I mean, grandma taught me this. Okay, I appreciate my grandma. We appreciate our heritage. We appreciate those who went before. But folks, we can't hang on that. It got to be more than that. You got to get rid of the agendas and the driven things and have an experience with God. Well, they was trying to catch Jesus because it was a picky thing to say. Because the law of Moses did absolutely say you was the stoner. So does he go against the law on a direct command? Jesus went above all that. He stoops down and writes. So when they continued asking him, it sounded like they kept talking. They thought they had him. That's why you talk like that. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Some people that know more about these things than I do said that the proper way to say this would be he that is without the same sin among you, let him cast a stone. I'm going to challenge your thinking here a little bit. We're dealing with someone that knows all about you. If we would get close enough to the Lord and believe enough in the Lord and keep the Lord as an active part of our life, knowing that the Lord is paying attention to me, I think we would be absolutely surprised at the amount of judgments that we cast on somebody else that we're guilty of. I do the same thing maybe in another quarter of my life, but I do the same kind of things. It looks ugly on you. It doesn't look as bad on me. But Lord, help us to have the mind that we're in this together. Lord, help us all. Instead of being condemning, as we can so easily be, isn't the right mind to be merciful? Isn't the quickest and most gracious thing to do is to always be merciful instead of condemning when something happens? If we're not careful, that's not our mind. Our mind doesn't gravitate into that first. It gravitates in this and we wander around with it and get to the other place. But Lord, help us to have the mind of Christ in what He had. They brought Him a woman that had been caught in the act of adultery. But He didn't have the right, that thinking towards her. He was altogether different than that. That is a soul. Lord, help us to consider people as souls. You can do whatever you want to. But when someone calls me on the phone, well, it's different now. I'll tell you, they got this system out there now that makes you think somebody's there. Ain't somebody there. And they're good at it now. I had someone call recently and say, hey, this is so and so. And I said, oh, how are you doing? Little hesitation. Fine, thank you. And this is what I want. This. And finally, I ended up saying, well, what's the weather like where you're at? Excuse me, I didn't understand that question. And I said, well, what's the weather like where you're at? I am sorry, we cannot answer a question like that. We'll have to give you to the... Okay, all right. I got a recording. I got some kind of mechanized machine thing, and it's really good. But I'm going to say this about real humans that I'm talking to. They're a soul to me. When I'm talking to them, it may be a telemarketer. But before they were a telemarketer, they was a human soul. That they're a person. That I may be able to, and I'll tell you, you think you can, I have actually had very good, prosperous conversations with telemarketers where I was able to encourage them, help them. And why not? They got problems too. They have things too. And was able to talk with them and even have them thank me for talking with them. But they're souls. And I'm not telling you how to witness your... But I'm telling you, what kind of mind do we have? What's Jesus' mind? Is it possible? I'm just asking. Is it possible that God could have that telemarketer call me in this rotation or however they do it? They have 100 in that room. 50, what I mean, but this one calls me. Okay, maybe I'm putting myself higher than I should, but I can think that God can link us and maybe I can encourage them. Maybe. I want to think that way. I want to think that way. I want the Lord to help me to think towards people's souls. So there's the woman. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left standing alone, and the woman standing in the midst. I'm going to say some things about this. Again, I think it's given. Jesus' words was not like our words. Jesus, they said, no man spake as this man spake. This idea that they went out just because these words were spoken, it wasn't just these words that were spoken, it was the one that spoke them. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Jesus, God always works in the order. There was a reason why he wrote on the ground. Because it was one of the testimonies. He wrote on the ground a testimony. And he spoke another thing that testified to them. And thirdly, the Spirit of God touched their hearts. It convicted them. It convicted them. They couldn't get away from it now. And now it said that they started, well, I can see them, a group of them there. And it stands to reason that the guy that lived longest had done the most. It's saying the right that his weights was heavier. The whole weights of the sins of his life came on him. Jesus spoke to him, you go cast a stone at her. And somehow he knew he couldn't throw that stone. If he threw that stone, he'd be 100 throw back at him. And I could see him probably with the eldest, the most prestige, maybe the one that led the group. I could see his head drop and him turn and just walk away. Maybe the other one just saying, what do I do now? Somebody's abandoned and the next one in line? I can't do that. I'm out of here too. Maybe, lest he write more on the ground. Maybe, lest he put my name down there in front of it. I better get out of here. I can't contend with this. Lord, help our minds to think in the right way. Here is somebody that was caught in the act of adultery. Oh, here was somebody that told a little lie. Or here was somebody that done something to me personally. Or here was another person that got caught up in this too. Lord, if you hadn't forgive me. Lord, if you hadn't brought grace to my life, all the list of things that you would write, all the things that you would do, Lord, help our minds. Because we can get our minds in the wrong places. Oh, I think I got one more scripture, if I'm not mistaken. Luke 9 is what I'm wanting. I think it's here. Someone may have to help me. Luke 9. No, this is what I want. Yeah, in the 51st verse, 9th chapter of Luke. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Yeah. That's what we need. They're interfering. Or they're not doing what they should be doing. So Lord, do you want us to send the fire down on them? Consume them. I know we can laugh at this. But this ain't far off of the way that we can feel about it. It seems to me like, Lord, that if you was just to blast him out of there and show everybody, then you wouldn't have this obstacle and what smooth sailing we'd have. But what if that's your mom? What if that's your brother? What if that's your children? Does it matter to you then that way? Do you have any different idea? Is it just something that our world is plagued with now, that now it seems like in our world that more and more we don't realize the humanity of the people around us? That's why there's mass shooting. They don't realize and understand. Do you realize that the connection that if this police officer gets gunned down, the four children that was home expected him to come, to be at the birthday party or whatever are going to be weeping and crying, and the wife that's lost and the mother that's lost, and there's no humanity connected to people. There's humanity connected to people. There's a souls involved in these people. You're going to strike them with fire. You're going to consume them with fire when maybe the gospel can change them. Maybe there's another effort there. Why be so quick to consume? Well, Jesus got it right to it with these disciples. These disciples had followed Jesus around, and this is their mind. This is what their mind was. It was said, Brother Rod brought it out in the scripture in the 6th chapter of John about Jesus saying that unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you cannot have the kingdom, can't enter the kingdom. And they said, well, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And from that point, many of his disciples walked no more with him. Why? Why? Because they had their minds wrong. Their minds wrong, they thought they was losing too much. They wasn't losing anything. You gain it all. You got your mind wrong in this. And they had their mind wrong in here. Let's consider, these people aren't, let's show them for their disrespect. That's human. The way humans think, it's not what Jesus thinks. That isn't what Jesus is doing. Jesus goes ahead and speaks to it. He says that he turned and rebuked them and said, "You know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." Now, that is a monumental place to have in our minds. Jesus did not come to destroy men's lives, but he came to save them. Lord, help us to have the same mind. There is a scripture that says that, and I want the Lord to help me. And I, some days when it's hard for me to think about doing it when I go and I'm by myself cutting and splitting wood. But sometimes when we take off to go to town or I'm going to be with a lot of people in the day, I think of the passage of scripture that said that Jesus went about doing good. And my prayer as I go sometimes is, Lord, help me. It's not to be noticed, but Lord, help me to go about doing good today. To show people that there's someone that cares. To reach out to do it. That you can't help no more than thinking well of the day if somebody's helped you and you went on. And so I'll do that sometimes and you'll be surprised how much I find to do. When I'm generally just wanting to do something for somebody to help them. And Jesus went about doing good. Do you know not all of them were saved? I also think this. Someone asked me recently. I've been contacting and corresponding and keeping up with a number of families in foreign lands, Pakistan, India, different places. And I was talking to one about feeding some poor, and they made the comment, they're Muslim children. My comment back was, they're hungry. They're hungry. It doesn't matter who they are, does it? Did it really matter to Jesus who they were? They're children, and they're hungry. How could they not think better of God and of religion, of everything, if they're fed? My comment was, is that I don't think Jesus minds. He wants to feed the poor. He wants us to have the same mind that he had. Do you know who he fed? You know who he seeks after? The sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, help us. You know not what spirit you're of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. But this was the idea. You know not what spirit you're of. So Lord, help us today that we would have the mind of Christ. Jesus' mind was forever to his Father. He was in complete contact with his Father. That was his mind. His mind in the garden, when the obstacles come in his life, his mind in the garden was not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, help us to have that mind in our lives. I see the path. This looks best for me. This is what I want to do, but not my will, but thy will be done. This was the mind of the Lord. I want to finish with reading Philippians again. Second chapter of Philippians. Okay, Philippians 2. Let this mind, fifth verse, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now remember, let this mind be in you, who was found in the form of a servant, it was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Let this mind be in you, who humbled himself. If we look at God, if we look at Jesus and the position that he was in, we would all have to say that he is worthy to be exalted. But he didn't do it. He humbled himself. He taught us. He come as a lowly child in a manger, but he spent his life. And it come down to the time of choice. The time of choice was that he found himself in this fashion. It wasn't robbery to his position of his authority. But he laid it down. He laid down the position he was in and humbled himself. And if that's not one of the most incredible things for us to look and say, the Son of God humbled himself, how much more should I humble myself? How much lowlier am I than he was? We should all take on us this humblest way. One of the songs says something about, as a stream seeks a bed that is lowly. In my mind, I see that so vividly. I used to like to play when I was a child. It'd come a rain, it'd be a big mud hole, and I'd get out there with a stick and start scratching in the dirt and make the water follow the trail. And when you got it low enough, the water would run into it, and it'd keep seeking to lower itself all the time, lowering itself. You could run it right on out the mud hole and into any place as long as you got it low enough to do it. And as the stream finds a bed that is lowly, it will build up if you don't. It'll get high. It'll get deep. But when it's got a place, it'll seek the bottom of every situation. That songwriter captured the idea of a mind of Christ, seeking the low places, and just finding a place that we can help, that we can be a help. Lord, help this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.